Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercies endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. For truly, God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we are able to ask and even think. What a time of praise. What a time of acknowledgement. What a time to be in divine favor with God, all leaning on his everlasting arm. What have we to fear? What have we to dread, leaning on his everlasting arm? Thank God for another day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, for it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. So we know that it is in him that we live. It is in him that we move, and in him that we have the definition of our being. And I'm thanking God on this glorious and victorious day it is, and we know it is, Sunday, February 27th, 2022, here on the Man Up Speaking, heard on the Blog Talk Radio Network, heard around the world. That's right. We have placement. We have compartmency to reach all continents around the world. We're thanking God for our listeners in Denmark, our listeners in Japan, our listeners all around the globe, because we know and we observe the headlines of the time. There is a famine in the land. Now, this famine is not a famine reflective so much of the lack of dietary in the natural speaking manner for provisions or food. The famine is for the word of God. That's right. See, the word of God is what creates the spiritual, the cosmos. It elevates from the cosmos. And then it manifests on the physical realm of mankind's existence. And this is the reason why there's so many people that are falling by the wayside. They lack the capacity of understanding the concept of how God is, what God does, and how God does it. God speaks it into existence. Observe you, the very elementation of the creations of God, the sun, the heavenly constellations, the moon, the stars. We look at earth. We look at the dry land called the earth. We look at the waters. We call them the seas. God spoke all of these things into existence. And so everything that God speaks that is good, good, and very good goes into existence. So if we walk in the manner of appeasement unto God, what we pray, what we speak will become made manifest on the physical realm of existence. That's right. And Jesus confirmed this. He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Well, let's reflect back to the kingdom of heaven. I know some of you are saying, there's three heavens. We're talking about the heavens where God the Father abides. Does heaven know any lack? Does heaven know any bitterness? Does heaven know any poverty? No. These things are relevant upon the planet Earth because mankind failed in his obligation to serve God and to be obedient unto God. See, obedience unto God brings about rewards. That's right. See, awards are something that you do something to earn. That's right. You get what you get. But a reward is for just simply being at the right place, having the right attitude, and being at the right time. So let's get that straight. And I know that here on the Mount of Speaking, you hear teachings that you're not going to get in the new phase way of thinking and doing, in the cosmopolitan setting, that here and now hip setting, you're not going to get these teachings. In the cosmetic setting where they're putting on a performance to get recognition, to get social media likes and all this acclaim, this is not what we are. This is not what we're about. We are based upon true biblical principles, principles that will transform your life, principles that will bring the joy of salvation into your life, that will bring redemption into your life, that will bring about the miracles of God into your life, into your body, into your family, into your workplace, into your finances. We are the real McCoy. We're not playing the cosmetic pretentious game. Because see, God is revealing false prophets, false teachers every day. These false leaders, these celebrities as they're called. They got people by the drones because of who they are. They're generating this money. And so many of them don't even know who God is. They don't even have a relationship with him. How can you be a Christian and you don't have salvation? But he that is of God hears God's word. He that is not of God hears him not, because he's not of God. And this is the reason why Jesus confirmed to us. He said, let the wheat and the tares grow together. He said, in the day of a harvest, I'm going to do the separating. I don't want to have to call names out. You already know who these people are. They're leading people into blindness, into darkness. And these people don't have any better being but to follow them because they got big names. But see, the world loves its own, okay? Broad is the path that leads to destruction and many following therein. But straight is the way. Narrow is the path that leads to eternal life. This is where the miracles are. This is where the financial restoration is, in that straight path. This is where the healing in the body, in the mind, in the spirit is. This is where the unification of the family is, on that straight path. But see, it's God's way, not their way. And so few follow it. Well, let me tell you something. I'm following this straight path. Sometimes it's a lonely venture, but I'm going to tell you something, I'm never alone, because I know that God meets and greets me each and every day when I call out to him. He, through the power of the Holy Spirit, ministers to me. And let me tell you something, not only ministers to me, and he's provided miracles in my mind, in my life, in my body, in my finances, but those who I've prayed for have experienced the miracles of God on their behalf. So keep on following the cosmopolitan way. Keep on following the cosmetic leadership. It's not going to get you anywhere. And let me tell you something. As much as God blesses and prospers me, I'm going to bless and prosper his people. And this is the true essence of things. Look at what's going on in the world. You can't see the signs that are apparent and evident, all these various civil uprisings, state of catastrophe, confusion, violence in the land. I said it once, I say it again in the name of Jesus. Like it or don't like it, I don't care anymore. I used to care. Oftentimes when I would teach in various locations, I would be asked to bring forth the word tiptoe. I'm not tiptoeing anymore because it's down to the brass tack and steel gauges. Until America, from its top office in the land to the local community establishment, falls prostrate on its face and repents of its evils, of its iniquities, of its bias, of its racism, of its violence, of its sin, of its sodomy, and of his blasphemy, of his idolatry, the nation will continue to plummet. There are some of us that are placed in locations. God has placed us there. Man didn't do it. Amen. Whether you say amen or not, you don't change it. You can't change it. We are praying, and God has allowed us to intervene and to interject on behalf of others. There's a few of us left who are doing it, who are walking the straight and the narrow path, who truly love God and love God's people, even those who have strayed away. But to those who lift up a standard and have taken the mark, shame on you. You will be held accountable, and you will pay for your ungodly deeds. How dare you adopt the system of this world? Don't you know that God the Almighty can speak one word and decimate everything? But it's of his loving kindness and his tender mercy that he prevails with us. And we thank God for his greatness, his truth, and all of his wonders. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart and the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great. Call out all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious. His righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He hath sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good man understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. I have read for your soul's inspiration and your spiritual elevation, the 111th division of Psalms. God has already added a blessing to the reading of his word, for his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light in our pathway. And just praise God for Jesus today. Oh, our divine mediator, our high priest, our savior, our Messiah. Because God so loved the world, despite all of the infractions of mankind, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth upon him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I see that's the love that keeps on giving, because the plentifulness never runs dry. Oh, my, my, my. I'm just thanking God today for the miracles that he's manifesting here in this land. Everybody say, pray for Ukraine. We're praying for Russia. We're praying for Ukraine. We're praying for the United States, because the United States is the leadership nation of the world. Britain is next. We know that Great Britain is next. But the United States of America is to set the standard of righteousness, holiness, truth, consecration, dedication, compassion, charity, and all of the fruits of the Spirit. From the top office to the local community establishment, just thank God for Jesus. And here's the word of prophecy. Oh, we have to follow the voice of God as he's leading us. There's someone out in listening land. I don't know who you are physically. I've never met you. I don't know you personally. Therefore, I can only speak what the Holy Spirit gives me to say. And you know it's genuine. It's not taped. It's not pre-recorded. It's not presumptionized. This is truth. This person, there's a woman. There's a woman. Here it is. You have been praying so hard. I don't know where you are geographically, but you know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty there anyway. So that's not a concern. You have been praying so hard for your son. Your son is under attack. It seems as though once he gets himself on the path of doing what is right, what's pleasing to you and to his family, because he does have a wife and he has children, he goes back into the same bondage again. You've prayed so hard because you see that there's a pattern of things, and you know that these attacks are not normal associations. You know it. You tried to talk to other people to get information from them. Every time you've sought to get information from other people, they turn a blinded eye to you. They turn a deaf ear to you. And they say to themselves, they don't tell you. They say, here she comes again with that same old stuff. I'm tired of her. And you're just heartbroken because this is your only son in your family. Something about when you have only one son, that love is different. And it feels as though you've got to hold fast because he's your only son. You have a daughter, but this is your only son. Let me tell you something. Your son is being led down a path that's not of his own delegation. It's the association of the people that he keeps going around. He keeps saying that he's not going back with these people again, but he just gets weak. He's looking for affirmation because his father wasn't there. He's looking for approval because his father wasn't there. And the first thing he said is, mine, I do not want to be anything like my father. But when he wills to do what's right, here comes the evil that's present. There he goes back down that path again. He's seeking adoration from other males that are influential in his eyes. But these men are influential in the wrong mannerism. They're influential in a negative pattern of substance abuse. Let me tell you something. You've got to go into your war room, mother. You are responsible for those children. You are the leader of those children. And though your husband did not treat you fairly, you have to forgive him. You're holding on to bitterness now. I don't know who you are. You're holding on to bitterness. You got to let that bitterness go. Because that bitterness is destroying your son. It's producing negative energy. Nothing ever good comes out of holding unforgiveness. Yes. When people hurt you, it hurts. When people denigrate you, you feel bad. In the flesh, you do. But if you don't forgive, you are taking in their poison. And that poison that you're taking in is creating toxicity. That toxicity is producing negativity. That negativity is feeding from you and feasting upon your son. Your daughter was impacted by it because your daughter is a prayerful woman. Your daughter is a loving woman. But your son is being confined by the very element of what you felt for his father. You got to let that go. How your son is going to get deliverance? When you release the negativity, the anger, the resentment, and you know that you're a woman of God. You know it. When you release your husband, God is going to deal with him. When you forgive your husband, this is how you're going to receive your deliverance. And your deliverance will come twofold. It will come to your son. And you will go to your son and tell him that all is well. And when you speak to him and say all is well, his mind is going to reflect back on the goodness of the Lord. And he will then draw that beautiful, that blessed aura to bring positive male role models in his life. Because your son is not an evil or violent man. He's just a confused man. This is a very unusual word. I don't know where you are. I don't even know personally who you are. But get up and get busy. And release yourself from the weight. Lay aside every weight. Unforgiveness is a weight that will hinder your journey. It will take you off. It will lead you down the wrong path. And it's time for deliverance. And I'm praying in the name of Jesus, you do it expeditiously. Because your son needs you. His family needs him. His children needs him. God has use and need of him. God don't have to need us because we're inaccessible. We're just not even that paramount. But out of his infinite mercy, his loving kindness and compassion, God uses us as oracles in his temple. And that's why I speak boldly. Do your job as a mother. As a mother, you are a guide. Not a dictator, but you're a guide. And when you do this, God is going to multiply the seed sown in your life and even in your daughter's life. And her academic endeavors will pay off immeasurably. And she's already blessed. But do this in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for listening to that unusual word of knowledge. We have to follow the Holy Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Sometimes the word of knowledge comes. We have to stop. And just be obedient. People don't want to be obedient. They want to be able to just say what they want to say, do what they want to do. But it's not my platform. This is God's platform. And as God expands the manner of speaking, the manner of delivering, the manner of restoration, the manner of on high, and we go into the Exodus group, we're going to see the expansion of God's hand with true Christian believers, not just believers, doers. Believers are those who set the standard. But doers is the one that gets the work done. And that's what we're going to do. Amen. And as promised, again, as my spirit dealt with me and the Holy Spirit confirmed Psalms, the book of Psalms, it's such a treasure chest. In the book of Psalms, 150 divisions of a man giving a petition to God about his present condition, about a man complaining about all the ails of his life, betrayal of friends, things that have been done against him, those who pursue him to kill him or destroy his character, even to his disobedience. And now he even committed sin, petitioning God to forgive him because he knows his conscience is beating him like a snare drum. Psalms is just so full of beauty. It talks about the beauty and the omnipotence, the omniscience, and the omnipresence of God. It talks about the sovereign capacity of his power and what he has done for his people. It confirms the registry of the children of Israel as being the true people of God, and about how God beat down their enemies to a pulp for daring to even offend his children. And God will do the same thing. He will destroy those who try to stand against us, those who try to speak against us and do against us. He will remove them from us. And this is just a wonderful treasure chest of the promises of God. The standards of God, the love of God, the chastisement of God, the wrath of God, the endurance of God, the ability of God. Oh, what a wonderful book Psalms is. And we're going to now the fourth division. We're following chronological order. And as we're following chronological order, the subject, the set, and the sequence of events or characterizations are going to be different because people just say, well, David wrote Psalms, so various writers contributed to Psalms. David was just one of the key people because his name was pronounced to us early on. That's right, it's being the shepherd boy who destroyed and took out a slaughtering behemoth known as Goliath. So that's why his name stands out before the other writers. But the other writers contributed too, because you know something? Well, there's unity, there's strength. That's why there's strength in numbers. Now, we're going to Psalms number 4. So get your sword out, get your Bible out, and turn to the 4th division of Psalms. This is to the chief musician on Neganah. This is a Psalm of David. This is a poem. And Psalms, as you know, are songs and poems. Songs start off as poetry. Do you know that, right? And some of the poetry is composition-like. It's theme-based. Composition means theme-based. And here we see David is saying, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. What is David saying? He's saying, please take heed and hear me as I'm crying out to you. When he's calling out, he's crying out. That means he's broken. This is a broken man here in this division of Psalms. It's an emotional switch here that's going on. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. It means that God, you brought me out and you elevated me and you gave me consolation when I was in distress. I mean, when things were going on tumultuous around me, you gave me the ability to withstand and you elevated me. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. He's saying, Lord, please listen to me. Here I go again. And sometimes, you know, we constantly are crying on the bosom of God because we don't understand things. We feel so all alone. We get frustrated. We get aggravated. And sometimes we just feel intimidated. Sometimes we just feel that we've been picked out, especially just to be picked on. Second verse. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? He's asking, he's saying, mankind, to those of you who want to see my demise, who want to see me fall, this is David saying, talking. He put a little bit of his personage in here. He's saying, how long will you try to set traps for me to fail? But my foot may slide, but I become the conversation of others, which is not good. How long are you going to keep doing this to me? You all think that you're something that you're not. You build up your own empire. And because you feel as though you're above me, that you can put your foot on me and step on me anytime you get ready. He says, how long will you continue in this behavior? Third verse, he says, oh, but here's the blessed assurance he speaks. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call upon him. He says, you all may have the position. You may all have the posture. You may all have the favor of the people that take heed to what you say and actually give record unto it. He says, but I know God, and God before us, he's more than the world against us. He's saying, I got the Lord on my side, and he is the commander, the sovereign power of the universe. Your capacity is limited. Your abilities are literally questionable. You can't do but what he allows you to do. Fourth verse, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still to lie. He's saying, wait a minute. Consider what you're doing. Take time. Focus. Regain your integrity. Understand. Take these things into consideration. With your own consciousness. And see, one thing, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. You cannot fool a prophet of God, a prophetess of God, because God gives us the discerning of spirits to be able to decipher what's going on in the midst, because he would not have us ignorant concerning spiritual things. How could I be a seer and a prophetess and be ignorant concerning spiritual things? Just don't measure out. I know sometimes the teachings are a little bit aggressive, but sometimes you have to become aggressive in your spirit to get people to understand. It's God's way. Ain't no highway. It's God's way, and the rest is out of the way. It's just that simple. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. David's saying, beyond all the things that these obstacles project to you, these instabilities that come against you, these negative people who want what you got at your expense, who want to be you, who want to do you, but they want to walk through you to get there, he says, consider all of these things. Put your trust in the Lord. Put him first. Whatever good happens in my life, I said, praise God. I know some people look at me and say, what's wrong with her? She's an educator. She acts not character. No, this is my character. This is the definition of my existence. This is who I am. This is what I am. Like it or don't like it, I don't care. This is what's wrong with the world. They've become so conditioned to being hard-hearted, to being insatiable. No, that's not the way to go. Look at the standards of the world today. Anything and everything goes, and it's all going down to destruction. The only reason why God has not allowed the full-scale destruction of this world is because of the prayers of the saints. It's the prayer of the saints and his loving kindness. And Jesus Christ, who always appeases to the Heavenly Father and mediates on our behalf. Because all of our righteousness are filthy rags. You do know that, right? Understand that. It's the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ that gives us the very essence of advocacy with the Father. Here we go. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. That means some people saying, you know what, you love God like this, and you know, how come you don't have? How come you don't, you struggling? How come you constantly get messed over? But you know what the scripture tells us, and I'm a living testimony, God has brought me up and brought me out. Many are the afflictions. Afflictions don't have to mean nobody is down in their body, can't move around, can't do it for themselves. Afflictions sometimes are things that cause infractions within you as a person. It causes reserves to be within you as a person. And the one of the worst ways that people are afflicted is through words. Words have spirit. Some people have been walked down and talked down so bad through the early years of their existence that they're afflicted. They have immense psychological stuff. The afflictions, and people don't know this, let me tell you something. Afflictions are 99% of the time invisible. You can't see them. You can't see any scars. You can't see the evidence of a person denigrating their health. It's mentality, how that person thinks, how they function. They're afflicted. You say, oh, they're supposed to act so funny. They're always isolated. That person oftentimes is afflicted. They've been afflicted emotionally, psychologically, just deprivated. And denigrated to such a level of existence, they don't trust anybody. They don't even know what it is to love. And there are some Christians, don't you come at me with lies, because I'm going to reveal a lie and tell the truth. There are some that profess to be Christians, and they do love God, but they don't love people. Uh-oh, look out. How can you love a God that you've never seen, but you know he's real? You know it. But do you hate your brother? And they won't necessarily hate, but they have reserves. They don't like other people. They fear other people. They've been afflicted. And Jesus Christ is the answer to heal those afflictions. And he will heal you. But do you want to be him? But some people get so gratified into being in that character, they're thinking they're doing what's called self-preservation. And it's not. It's self-destruction. Because we are the family of God. We have to fellowship with one another. Whether it's in person, in a collective environment, whether it's through conversation, over the phone, and other measures that they're doing, communication, whatever have you, technology, whatever, we have to connect. The puzzle cannot complete its design unless the pieces are figuratively put together. Okay? Is that simplistic? Here we go. He's saying, God, light up thy countenance unto us. I mean, show us the love. Sometimes we, you know what, as being born-again believers and practitioners and doers, sometimes we just need to feel the love. You know, we need to feel God just hugging us, just holding us close. We need that intimacy. So, you know, intimacy is just not for God to do. We should establish the grounds for intimacy by releasing everything that we have within our immediate grasp. That means that sometimes we just need to just let everything go and just focus on God, meditate on God, read his word, fast. Whether the Holy Spirit, see, the Holy Spirit needs to lead us to fast. We don't need to lead ourselves to fast because you know something? If we're not being, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you're fasting, you say, well, I'm going to fast today. You know what? That's just like a regular diet. But when the Holy Spirit leads you and speaks in your consciousness, that's when you do it. Because you know there is a reason for it. And it's going to be a beneficial health reason. It's going to be a beneficial spiritual reason. It's going to be a definitive factor of deliverance for you or someone you've been praying for. It's going to be an impactful reason. So we got to follow the Holy Spirit. We can't dictate to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to tell and teach us. This is that simplistic. Seventh verse. Thou hast put gladness in my heart. And joy is a expression of gladness because you're thankful for what's being done, even though you don't see it. Thank you for it being it actually manifesting and even so the future endeavors of what God is doing. That's the joy of the Lord. That's our strength. That's how we stay strong in the Lord and the power of his might, through our joy. Yeah, it comes from the reading of the word. It comes from consecration, and that's what I've been experiencing this week, why I have not came on the broadcast. I was in consecration. Do I want to be in consecration? My flesh wants to go out and just get on here and just teach and sing and preach and just communicate. But no, consecration. Consecration. I mean, quiet corner time. Shut down to the world. Be within yourself time. Hear the voice of God time. Deal with inner turmoil time. And that's what consecration is. You come up with a new revitalization, a new perspective, a new trajectory. And this is what it does. We have to consecrate. People don't want to get to consecrate no more. Oh, no, I'm going over to my friend's house. I'm going to go over here and just sit with her. No. Sometimes God wants you to sit down, sit back, and stay away. So you can speak to him, and you speak to you. And this is why some people have, I'm talking in the natural now, have effective and productive marriages. You know why? They consecrate. With all spiritual level consecration, for believers, yes, you need to. That means you're in the same place at the same time, but you're in different locations. That's the natural. I mean spiritual. But the natural consecration of a married couple is this. This is how marriages stay strong. They shut the TV off, if they have the children are in their locations, or maybe other provisions have been made for the children to abide elsewhere. The telephones are cut off. Of course, if you're working, you have to provide a living, because if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. So the eats have to come in. So, you know, the working part you have to do. But outside the sociological perspective of things, there's a shutting. And in the natural shutting, the man and the woman, they talk to each other. They're intimate with each other. And intimacy does not always mean physical contact. Sometimes there's conversations that need to be brought about. There's certain things that need to be discussed. There's certain resolves that need to be ascertained. So this is what a consecration in the marriage is. And it involves those two people, not the in-laws, not the outlaws, not the friendship circle, not the extended family, just those two people. This fortifies the relationship, and the two people become stronger together. They become a unitary division of one, not divided, but a division, which means it's a definitive of one, an evidence of one. So consecration is very important. We need to do that. And as God leads me again, I'm going to consecrate. And to those of you who want the elevation in the spiritual realm, I would even advise you to do it as well. Here he says, thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. That means you have given me a joy, a completeness that not even the most instrumental provisions can give me. Because what you give me is internal, which is eternal, and it projects into the external. Do you get it now? Let me say it again. What the joy of the Lord is internal, which would mean in the spirit man, because it's of an eternal factor, my everlasting factor that can't be changed, moved, or decimated. And it expresses itself through the external, which means the outer realm of things. This is what you do. And I say, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only maketh me dwell in safety. He said, Lord, considering all that you've done for me, all that you've given me, victory over my enemy, a way of escape, everything I need within intimate reach, a developed relationship with you, confirmation that you're with me, all of these things that you do, I can lay down as believers, as doers in God through Jesus Christ. We should have the most eloquent and most peaceful sleep because God gives his angels charge over us to protect us in every aspect. He will protect us in our sleep because, you know, in our sleep, we're vulnerable. In our sleep, we're open. And in our dreams, our minds are like open doors. But see, God sends his angels behind those open doors to close them so that nothing, even through our dreams, can impact us. Because I have heard people tell me that they have had dreams that were so shaking, they barely could wake up. See, the angels of the Lord encamp around about them. They fear them, and he is delivered them. So praise God for Jesus, and thank God for his mercy. And let me tell you something. Stand fast in the liberty where there's Christ have made you free, and be not again entangled with the yoke of bondage. For he that the Son has set free is free and free indeed. And I thank God for those of you in listening radio land. Continue to listen and reach out to me. I've provided you with my personal email address, abbyphelps965@gmail.com. You can always inbox me here at the Blog Talk Radio Network as well. And listen, if you need extra counseling, you need words of encouragement, just reach out to me, and I will, I guarantee you, I will connect and communicate with you. And I want to say to you, have a glorious, victorious, miracle-filled week. For God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask and even think. You got your hope. Following the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the divine teacher. I'm following what the teacher is telling me to say. You're listening to my voice and saying, oh, what a great teacher you are. Let me tell you, I'm only as great as the power the Holy Spirit allows me to be. To God be the glory. Abby A. Phelps, known as the Esquire, Abby A. Phelps, also known as the Motor City Modern Lion. Many of you remember me from my talk show circle. That's right. And I tell you, God keeps on giving and blessing and prospering. And the more that he prospers me, I want to be a blessing to you. So reach out. Let's communicate. Let's connect. And as we move forward into the greatness of God, eternal love and his blessings just keep coming. His miracles just keep coming. Be on the reciprocating end of those miracles on this week. Open up, believe, achieve, and receive. Because the sky knows no limit. We'll see you again on next Sunday. Be encouraged, be blessed, and prosper in all that you do. Have a great, glorious, victorious, miracle-filled week. Oh, yes.